Tunnel Talk and No Facts All Feelings Wrestling Podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
It's a wrestling podcast.
You could start a new bit where you put a new interest in that space every time.
Bible podcast.
People would get concerned, though. They'd be like, oh no, is it a supernatural podcast now?
I mean, you could
you know what? For the first 10 minutes, you might not be able to figure it out.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
We finished it.
We finally finished
it. Congratulations.
We didn't even really debrief it that much. I think there was a real feeling of, you know, kind of like you cross the finish line and you dissipate into the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it everything you dreamed of, Leah? Leah actually did the whole show.
I did the whole show.
Piggybacked.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that my brain has less wrinkles than it started with, I would say.
I mean, that's what you want. Like, you want to smooth it out. Yeah.
Supernatural is brain Botox. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Brain Botox. Fillers. Fillers for your brain.
Well, if anybody wants to suggest any other just really deranged shows.
I constantly am on the hunt for recommendations, and people don't understand you when you're like, no, it has to be stupid. Because people will be like, like, why don't you watch White Collar? And you're like, do you know how complicated the plots of White Collar are?
I can't back you up on that. I've watched a lot of White Collar ignore most of what's happening. Most of what's happening, you just ignore.
I think I got through 3 episodes and I was like, this is too intelligent. They are using multi-syllable words.
You're like, you don't understand how dumb it needs to be.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. Even on my own damn podcast, we're not understanding. I need to bring it down.
I understand what you're looking for. I don't want us to be basically saying that White Collar is intellectual fare. That's what I don't want us to say. Okay. It doesn't make sense in other ways. It's incredibly stupid in other ways. Okay. It's trash. It's trash in the garbage. Okay.
I've been watching SVU from season 12 forward, but now I've hit the part where Elliot Stabler comes back. So I'm on season 22 or something, but like now I need to pay attention because there's like overlap and I have to jump to organized crime to see the crossover stuff. So now I can't watch it like 4 episodes as I'm falling asleep or whatever. So I'm really also at loose ends. And what I've done is I've jumped back to season 6. So,
well, Anne, if you'd like to join me in Riverdale,
I did take in a little Riverdale last week because at one point I tried watching it and I got a fair way through the first season, but it was more of a tonal issue for me where Riverdale, like sometimes it's so stupid that it's not really stressful, but it would all be presented as stressful. So I'd get stressed out like a scared dog kind of this could be really bad. And it's like, it couldn't. It's just Riverdale, baby.
But you tend to like a brighter lit show than that too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I feel like that's a component.
Yes, that is true. That's what I tend to go for when I get my monk. Get my monk in.
We've all got our specific preferences for the stupid stuff we watch for our private time or private stupid
for
time.
Private time. Well, let's not talk about our private time anymore. Does anyone have? Do you have anything else you wanted to report before we talk about wrestling?
No. I had to think for a moment. I was like, what's going on in my life? No.
My nephew loves the Woolly Mammoth hat that I made for him. My brother keeps texting me. He's like, oh, the Dino Dana episode with the Woolly Mammoth came on. So he had to make me pause it and run and get it so he could wear it. He wanted to wear it to school today. So
that's pretty sweet.
I feel like a success. Yeah.
You're the number one
auntie
on.
Hell yeah.
Auntie on.
That's how we say it. Yeah.
Yes. And I guess we should bring up that we published our review pod. And
yes.
If it's already on the feeds, if you hadn't already seen it, we watched 5 matches.
Mm-hmm.
5 very good matches.
Very good.
And we have a bunch more in the tank for next month.
Yeah, we've got, thank you guys for sending them our way and for our beautiful 5-star reviews, which we treasure, like our little dragon hoard. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we had the best time. We can't wait to watch the other ones that we have in the tank.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about, guys, let's talk about wrestling, okay?
We are a wrestling podcast, after all.
Enough private time, enough mammoth hats, enough shilling our past product. Let's get into the taggy tourney, okay? The Young Bucks fought Private Party on Dynamite, not before they had a little backstage interview in which Nick cheesed like a literal demon, and Matt cheerfully told Renee to smile more. They were absolutely just nutso vibes. Great.
It was crazy. That smile that Nick was doing was like nothing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I don't know how he uncovered that facial expression, basically, but every time he does it, it's like, oh no.
I really enjoyed every way that they were described. Bleacher Report described them like crooked real estate developers from Florida who might end up arrested by Don Johnson. I also saw somebody describe them as their Cuban uncles. Like every single way, I was just like, yeah, that's right.
You can't say they're giving you nothing. They're giving you something.
So true.
Matt also explained in this backstage interview that lightning never strikes twice, and Private Party, who beat the Bucks in AEW's inaugural tag team tournament, would be unable to do so again, and they didn't. So the match itself, both teams engaged in a little bit of light cheating. Poor Nick slipped doing an EVP trigger. I think he wasn't injured. Is that where people leave?
Yeah, no, Dave said this morning that he's fine.
Great. So he's probably just mad at himself. And then they did this kind of I don't know what happened here at the end where they were pinning Mark Quinn. But
yeah. What was that? Matt kind of pushed Nick's body down on top of Mark Quinn. And that's how they pinned him.
It kind of felt like Matt was being like, oh, I'm sorry that EVP trigger didn't work out for you. I want you to still be involved in this. Come on.
Yes. We'll do it together, buddy.
I'm not mad at you. We'll do it together. What do you guys want to talk about?
How about the fact that in the actual match, they had new gear that looked like suits.
Looked like suits. Can't say they were suits.
No. Looked like suits.
Crime against suits.
And
yeah.
Someone in the Social Suplex Discord described it as, and I can't get this out of my head, gender reveal gear.
They were wearing pink and blue, and that was Seth Retrogren, and I thought it was so funny.
They were wearing pink and blue, and it is true that the way that, like, a wrestling costume that looks like a suit is like a little baby outfit that looks like a suit. Yeah. Like, it's the same basic deal.
Yeah, like when you put a onesie that looks like a tuxedo on a newborn.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
No one's pregnant right now, right? Because I would love a gender reveal AEW party where one of the Young Bucks jump out of a cake wearing one of those suits, either the blue or the pink. Like, I think Cody would have loved that. It's a girl.
Cody might have. I don't know that he would have wanted anybody else to be involved, like any other human beings to be involved in. Human beings.
Our friend Nico had suggested that they could actually be hired for gender reveal parties where they wrestle in those suits and whoever wins the match is the gender of the baby. I was like, yeah, nice. That rules.
You get to watch a fun Young Bucks match, and then you're like rooting for one of the other of them. And
that's true. People would be cheering.
Someone once told me that they were done with gender reveal parties because they've been to too many where the father was visibly disappointed.
Oh,
at the reveal.
God.
I was like, that's so dark.
Wow.
Ooh.
It's also just kind of dark to think about having been to more than one gender reveal party for me.
No, not
I have
my
never
social
been,
set.
I've never been to one. Yeah.
Not even one. No.
I've been to a couple, but I would not say they're like fun. They're kind of weird.
kind of weird. Yeah,
well, because like baby showers have like a clear trajectory. Like they're always short. There's, you know, the same kind of things. The gender reveal party, it's a weird mix of people because it's not like just like, you know, like it's a weird mix of people. And then the only activity anyone has planned is the gender reveal thing. And so it just makes for a very strange vibe.
There's a lot of people that I think what Anne said makes sense. There's a lot of people I wouldn't want to be around when they're finding out a baby's
Yeah.
Gender.
Yeah. Or I feel like if you have
gender at birth.
Yeah. If you have a real strong preference for that, maybe don't do a gender reveal party where your entire, all your friends and family will be watching you find that out. That can be a private moment.
Mm-hmm. Process that on your own.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what we're talking about, to be honest. any thoughts on the match?
Anyway, so that's our tight 10 on gender reveal parties. Yeah, the match. It was a really good match.
It was a fantastic match. I mean, like, I think, like, a lot of people have said that, like, private party had, like, ring rust. And I don't know if that's, like, true because obviously I couldn't tell. But I didn't think that their matches with Top Flight were that good. But I'll tell you for free that I loved this. Like, I feel like everybody was at their best. Like, there's a lot of, I mean, minus the Nick Spotch. I'm so sorry, Nick. I know you didn't like that. I know
Nick
you didn't like that.
No. Nick, everyone else was at their best, but you wasn't at your best.
Don't Nick, you were at your best for the whole match. And it's honestly, I thought it was, it's a good gimmick to be accidentally slipping in because you're supposed to look like a kind of goofy ass asshole.
Yeah.
So I think that that's what he should focus on. He actually did some really good character work.
Yeah.
It was great character work.
And he got to be involved in the pin. And that's beautiful. I think it's actually quite beautiful, Nick. So
it's surprising that they haven't slipped more in those robes that they wear, those horrifically proportioned
poor
robes.
Nick almost did get on his toes, so I'm worried.
But he didn't fall, so that was...
Maybe he should make this part of his bit where he just keeps, like, in every appearance, he slips a little bit and then is like, if you mention it, I'll fucking bind you.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That would be really funny, actually, if they were backstage and people were being like, oh, Nick, the finish, like, don't feel bad. And he's like, I will find you.
What finish? Seems like it went perfect.
Speaking of backstage, to go back to the beginning promo again, how much did you guys love Nick being like, where's Alex Marvez? Renee.
So good. Yeah. Renee does such good faces in response to that stuff. But yes, I love that Alex Marvez is their assigned.
And
Tony.
One of them, I can't remember which one of them was like, he's better looking than you, Renee.
It's just not as fun to bully Renee as it is to bully Alex Marvez, you know?
I know that because period of time where Alex Marvez was not around was so, like, sad. Like, I'm glad he's back.
Yeah, we were
concerned.
Something
about Alex Marvez's, like, whole attitude when he's being bullied is it's like he's being like, on some level I deserve it. I know I deserve this, and that's why Renee can't be bullied the same way, because she's looking at them like, I don't deserve this.
Renee,
in fact, you'll get what's coming to you in the next life.
Renee's vibe is like, I could walk at any time, like, please push me. And then, like, Tony Schiavone sometimes comes close to Alex Marvez's deal, but there's still, even when he looks ridiculous,
a little bit of self-respect.
Tony has, like, an inner core of pride that you can sense in some way. Alex Marvez does not have that. That has been snuffed out years ago.
It's true. Renee's energy is, I don't need this job. But Alex Marvez, he needs this
job. He needs this job.
This job is all I need. If I don't have this job, my life is over. Love you, Alex Marvez. You guys want to talk about, now, Leah, can you name the move? No, absolutely not.
No.
Okay. Well,
somebody gifted it and said, oh, we're doing MCMG Motor City Machine Guns callouts now. And so it was, did Mary tell us what it was?
Detroit. Something about Detroit.
Yeah, she did, but I don't,
Made in
of course,
Detroit.
Remember.
I'm locking it in. Made in Detroit.
Made in Detroit. Somebody look it up right now. Fact check.
It won't be me, but
Leah is, I think.
Yeah.
They did the Motor City Machine Guns move, and everyone's been saying online, Motor City Machine Guns, their contract is up at the end of March with TNA, and they're on the prowl, maybe going somewhere else, maybe. There have been a lot of references from the AEW, from the little babies, who seem so excited, little Nick Wayne and Dante. And
apparently they fathered many of the little babies in AEW.
Yeah, they fathered little Jay White. Anyway, there have been a lot of references on Twitter. People are clearly, you know, suggesting that perhaps they could be coming in.
What was the move name?
Mary did not name it.
Oh, dang.
We saw its name somewhere. We'll find it later. Anyway, I just wanted to check in with you guys. How How do you feel about the idea of Motor City Machine Guns coming to AEW?
I feel
extremely positive.
So positive. I mean, yeah. It doesn't, I Want mean, em. Extra, it's extra uh-huh. encouraged by having just seen the empty arena match.
Yes.
But like the idea, so the only tag teams that are on the Bucks' level right now are the Lucha Brothers, where one has been hurt and like they just had like a big long series, and FTR, who we fucking hate, right?
I don't consider FTR to be on the Bucks' level.
You know,
I'm so sorry.
Are you off that list too?
I don't understand.
Hurt.
Okay, well, Lucha Brothers got mentioned even though they're hurt, Leah. So,
okay, don't talk to me about that because Chuck Taylor is somewhere going. Don't stop. Don't mention best friends. Don't mention best friends.
I know.
Why would you mention best friends? I'm trying to respect.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Chuck's preferences.
Okay.
For
the first time ever, sure. Okay.
I was like, it's never happened on this podcast before.
When
but.
He says he wants something from me, I give it. He says, "Don't put my name in your mouth." But you know what I mean. Like, it would just be really great to have like a tag team that like the Bucks genuinely like. Were rivals against, like, that would be cool. And
it would be nice to have some established tag teams, some tag teams that are actually committed to one another.
You bring some respect back to the tag team division.
Yeah.
When
divorce is running rampant and all these people are living in sin without even committing themselves to one another, like Ricky and Big Bill.
Yes.
Please.
What we know about Motor City Machine Guns is that our friend Mary loves them. She's taught us a few things about them. I know they love each other. I know they're monogamous, okay? I know they're in a happy, committed relationship. And sometimes that, you know, it's like they've gone and done their separate things, but they're always together in their heart. Yeah. So that's what I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the energy we need in the AEW tag team division in sickness and in health.
And yeah. I know that Anne has a crush on the one that looks the straightest.
I was about to ask. Okay. That is true, but... I didn't love that phrasing.
And that's Chris Sabin, right?
Chris Sabin, yeah.
Is
I was going to say the one that
real, he has a real job, too.
Oh, I think he does. Yeah, he just
or
looks like a Brooklyn
one of them
dad,
has a real
of,
job, but I don't remember who it is.
And our friend Beth once burned me by saying, oh, yeah, that makes sense because he looks like what all straight men are attracted to, or straight women are attracted to. And I was like, okay, well, sure. Yeah, let's call me out. Okay. Being bullied for my orientation in the group chat, but okay.
It's really hard when you're in the minority in a space, you know.
It's pretty
when
rough.
when you're just a straight girl in a gay space, baby.
Yeah. You guys don't know the suffering that I go through as a straight person every day.
Look, I think the important thing is we want him to come. Can you guys get in here already?
Please. I think my dream is for the Bucks to win the belts at Dynasty and Motor City Machine Guns to walk in and interrupt their celebration and do one of those sexy stare downs. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah. The sexier, the better.
So do that. So, Tony, book it. Okay, then later on Dynamite, Best Friends Trent and Orange Edition fought the Undisputed Kingdom in their first round tag tournament. Matt. Jesus Christ. I keep getting the thumbs up today, guys. I won't explain that. Okay, in their first round tag tournament match and won. So Roddy and Chuck Taylor were both ringside. Roddy attempted to intervene. Chuck prevented it. Later, Chuck did intervene and allowing Greg to get the pin. So again, everyone was cheating. I love it. It's running rampant this week. And Best Friend's celebratory hug was interrupted by Matthew Nicholas Jackson coming up the Cody Vader to loom threateningly and kind of mouth, you know, kind of like, I'll get you my pretty stuff at them. And they will face Best Friends on TV next week in the tag tournament quarterfinals. I'm really not doing good this week. I'm sorry. In the tag tournament quarter.
I think it's actually the semifinals, if that's easier to say.
Yeah, the semifinals. You know what? I can't get into the way that I did that. Okay. Well.
You did fine. You did fine.
Yeah.
I think that was great.
Thanks, friends. Thank you, my friends. You want to talk about the new Best Friend shirts?
Yeah.
I love them.
Can you believe they have two right now?
They have two. They're both cute.
They're both incredible. Cute.
Yeah. And when they walked out wearing these ones, I almost thought they had just made them themselves with Sharpie in the back. They say Trenton Orange with Chuck Taylor win the big one. But I was like, I love that it's available for me to purchase. Mm-hmm.
God bless Orange Cassidy for saying, I will find a low energy way. Like, I will always find a low energy way. And having gotten over these t-shirts that he just writes in 5 seconds, like,
yeah,
Trenton Orange win the big one. Yeah. Look, you all know that we want to see Dustin wrestle. We want to see him wrestle, but more than anything, we want to see him happy. That's our point. That's our sweet point. And what we have been forced to confront is that he is loving managing right now. He just is looking alive. He, during this match, was taking his role of kind of like water boy cheerleader so fucking seriously.
So seriously.
Yeah.
He's giving Greg these go get him butt taps. He's spinning his little t-shirt around. Let's go, boys.
Slapping that apron with his characteristic joie de vivre.
Verve life.
He was holding somebody's shirt in his hands, and I don't know why he was holding it like with two hands, but it looked like he was carrying something, and I just got convinced for a minute that he was holding a tray of snacks in case little guys got hungry while they were out there doing the big wrestle. Like, honestly,
my hungry guys, I gotta keep my hungry guys fed.
Wow. Okay, that's so funny.
He just has incredible stage mom energy right now, and he just looks so happy.
He looks so crazy. Happy.
It's like, do we think he's gone on antidepressants? Like, I don't know.
That's, you know what? It's not for us to speculate about where his happiness comes from, but we know that if he's happy, we're happy. Okay, right. So we will root for Trenton Orange with Chuck Taylor to win the big one. Do we think it's right? That's not worth getting into. It's not worth getting into whether it's right. It's what's happening, and our beautiful boy is happy. So
it will console us when they don't win the big one. That
they don't think that they're going to win the big one. But wouldn't it be a zag if they did?
It would be a zag.
Would
if they
be
did.
An insane zag. Like, don't you think that like all three of them would be so confused?
Well, honestly, like, given the way they've been, you know, portrayed for the past however many years, it's like, I was a little bit surprised that they won this quarterfinal match against the Undisputed Kingdom.
Yeah, it did feel like it would be much more like Best Friends to have to endure the indignity of losing to the Undisputed Kingdom and having Roderick Strong right there dancing on their graves.
Yeah. Garbage. He's carrying that belt around. He's not even defending the belt. OC defended that belt every week.
How long has it been since the pay-per-view? Like a month?
At least 3 weeks.
Yeah. At least 3 weeks. I haven't even seen... I don't want to see Roddy right now. I'm done with Roddy, but he hasn't done anything with that belt.
I think he's defending it on Rampage, but not... I mean, it's against Matt Menard, so... Sorry, Daddy Manjik. I love you so much, but I would not say that match is going to be like... I don't know.
You're fairly convinced what the outcome will be.
It's not getting a Kenny Omega 5-star.
Yeah.
Such a damning thing to say. I love it.
You want to talk about what Matt Jackson did before coming out in the Cody Vader?
Why did he shave his beard off?
I think I got
too comfortable. I was like, I'm starting to love him. I'm starting to love him. I'm starting to find his attractiveness again. I'm starting to like, you know,
it was the full feminine beard.
I'm in my favorite movie Hook, and I'm a lost boy, and I'm touching Matt's face, and I say, I see you. I see you under there. And he said, no, not this character. No. And so he shaves.
Like, actually full outfit change and beard change.
Yeah. But I didn't even notice. Like, when they were doing the interview with Renee, I said, like, I think his natural beauty is trying to escape. I think that, like, he is tired of being shoved under a bushel. He looks luminous. Like, even though he is just this horrible... goofy EVP character, something in me is singing when I look at him. And then he came out later and he'd gotten rid of the beard. And I still thought he looked quite luminous. I guess it was that kind of that freshly shaven skin actually at that point. But later when I was looking at the pictures, I said, I didn't even notice he had the beard. But of course, that's what was calling to me and saying like, I'm as beautiful as I've ever been.
Yeah.
I'm actually as beautiful as if the second I grow my full feminine beard out again, I will be the loveliest woman you've ever seen. I will be a beauty queen.
Beauty queen.
And he now had to get rid of it for that reason. He did.
I'm just picturing, you know how like in the presidential debates they'll have focus groups where they like turn the dial depending on how much they like what things say and they see the graph. I'm Matt Jackson's back there in the back and he's like watching your reactions like on the graph. He's like, oh, they're above the level. We got to do something about this.
It's literally that. It's like the inverse of his old, like, showing off for the Tumblr girlies segments, where it's like he's tracking horniness on Tumblr, and he's like, yeah, they got a little too high.
A little too high.
They are a little too happy right now.
He's like, yeah. Chuck Taylor, give me your resources. What are you using for this?
Although Chuck Taylor has no resources.
Yeah.
But he's been trying for years.
He's been working miserably, so hard to get the Tumblr girls to leave him alone, and he has failed worse than ever. He's the last person you want to get advice from.
That's true.
It's like, look at Dustin, see what he did, do the opposite somehow. I don't know how, but.
Yeah, actually, he's knocking down FDR's door, like.
Yeah, there you go.
On the roster. This is a Tumblr girl repellent. Dustin Rhodes.
Upcoming this weekend, Big Bill and Ricky are going to fight Top Flight, and FTR will fight the Infantry. This is all on the other side of the tourney bracket. Any thoughts on those matches or where we're heading?
This is a real nightmare.
Should we rank our outcomes here?
By our personal preference.
Yeah.
Or what by is, what we think.
What is your best case scenario?
Tough Flight goes into the finals.
Same.
Best case scenario. Same.
Second best case scenario.
Big Bill and Ricky. No, the Infantry, I guess.
I was also going to go Infantry because I don't have any. I have no prior opinions. Yeah. Yeah, they're fine. Like, sure. Everybody likes Captain Sean. Captain, right? Yeah. Captain Sean Dean.
Captain.
Suddenly I was like, Sergeant? Lieutenant?
Major Sean?
Corporal?
Sergeant Major?
Yeah. So and then third, Ricky and then Ricky Bill, and then FTR. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Last. Yep.
Yeah.
It's a real nightmare side of the bracket and Top Flight and the Infantry they don't have. But the rest of
and
them.
And the only
okay, so I hate FTR. I mean, we'll call us
okay,
today.
What just happened with Anne is she said it's a nightmare side of the bracket, except Top Flight, except the Infantry. Okay, just FTR.
Just FTR. Because even Big Bill and Ricky have Big Bill going.
Yeah.
For them.
Yeah.
And Big Bill, of course, we
of
love.
Of course, we love.
It's really
Big
only
Bill.
3 out of 8 of them, I guess, are the nightmare side of the bracket.
The only thing that I feel uncertain about with Top Flight. I mean, I don't even know what I think is going to happen, but they did fight Top Flight like twice fairly recently, right? So I guess that's making me think like it's not going to be Top Flight.
I know. I don't think it will be.
But I also, on some level, I guess we'll be a little shocked if it's FTR.
Well,
but maybe it will be.
It's one of those no-win scenarios because if it's not FTR, then I'm going to be low-key annoyed and be like, oh, sure, you ducked losing to the Bucks. Of course you did. But if it is FTR, it's going to be like, okay, yeah, I do want FTR. I mean, I want the Bucks to get their win back, so it's not, like, so it's what?
Yeah.
2-2,
is it?
But I have to watch an FTR
match. I
could
be wrong.
You know?
I think it's, I think that would be 2-2, yeah.
Yeah,
I
watching
don't
an
watch
FTR
match,
ugh, no. I will not be entertained.
But it sucks. But I want them to beat FTR for the belts, like, in theory. You know what I mean? Like, in theory, that would be, like, really spitting in FTR's stupid faces. But
it's always going to be secondary to, like, they should have won the belts, actually, off of FTR.
Yeah, I know.
And, like, so if they win them in this tournament where nobody technically holds the belts, whatever. It's fine. If FTR win, we riot.
Yeah.
I think that's
simply not acceptable.
Yeah. If
FTR win the belts, we riot.
If FTR wins the belts, there will, this podcast won't update again. It'll just go radio silent.
Yeah. I don't.
It's the last straw. I don't care how much we've been enjoying everything else.
I don't think that's going to happen, but with old TK, you never know.
You never know.
Let's quick check in on Big J, okay, in his time of ongoing trial. This hasn't been on the podcast recently. This week on Dynamite, Jericho and Hook cut an incredibly weird promo in which Jericho, with a somewhat low-energy, defeated aspect, told Hook that Jericho has never run a wrestling school or been a manager, but if Hook has any questions about becoming a big star, Jericho is here for him. He really wants to answer them. And Hook responded by saying, "I appreciate your praise, Chris, and of course I'll take advice from you. You're Chris Jericho. But you're Chris Jericho. I know who you are." And Jericho immediately just kind of doubles down, again, low energy, on his desire to be Hook's mentor. What did you make of this promo?
This dialogue sounded like it was written by AI.
It was so weird. And, like, Hook's delivery was weird, too. So he was like, "I appreciate your praise, Chris Jericho." And you're just like, what is happening?
I thought him saying, like, I'll take advice from you. You're Chris Jericho, but you're Chris Jericho. I know who you are. I actually did like that. Yeah. I was like, yeah, more people should be probably responding to Jericho that way by being like, yeah, of course you could help me, but you could hurt me too.
Yeah.
Because of your inherent nature, Scorpion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jericho's energy really has been so weird lately. It's like he's really struggling and the crowds are not responding to him the way he wants them to. And it's like such a stressful bummer.
I'm not surprised that he's not doing well, though, because I do think that the way that, like, the wrestling community has responded to this man clearly just, like, not having a great couple of months and feeling a lack of self-confidence and an uncertainty about how to proceed in his career has been deranged.
It has been deranged.
I do think that people really have jumped right to some of those favorite terms in the community. He's washed.
Yeah.
He's cooked.
He's cooked.
Sometimes things that are said in the IWC are very like, y'all are mean. Is this how you talk to each other? Like, this is how you live? This is what male communities are like? They're like, throw that man in the trash, like, after one bad week. Or it's just like, okay.
I keep feeling kind of, like, sensitive about it, actually, because, and it's not really about, like, fully, completely about Chris Jericho. Like, Chris Jericho is just a really recent, like, version of where this is happening a lot. But it is mean. Like, I know that we're mean to FTR or whatever, but
FTR took a long time to get, to earn the amount of disdain I have for them. And I've never said they're washed.
I just said I don't like anything they do.
And that's my right. I know. Will. And, like, there are people who are like, I don't like watching Chris Jericho and I don't like when he's on my screen. Fine. And that's fine. Yeah, I've never argued with anyone there. But, like, it's weird to me. The wrestling community has this, like, intense need to be like, the reason why I don't like this wrestler is because I understand the wrestling business. And so I can explain to you that Chris Jericho is washed. And I can't just say I'm not enjoying what Chris Jericho is doing, because Chris Jericho doesn't enjoy what Chris Jericho is doing. No. Like, it's clearly not working.
It's the classic male problem of expressing opinions as facts.
Yeah. Trish and Sarah did a really good segment about this, their last episode, where, I mean, they were coming at it the other direction, where, like, people are using data and stuff to try to argue why it's okay to like a wrestler. And they're like, you can just like guys. And this other end of this is true, where you can also just not like a guy.
Absolutely.
You don't have to, like, justify it or make up all these, like, insane, like, evidence for why he should go away. You can just wish that he went away. I mean, you won't get it. I still have Wardlow, but, you know, you can say it.
None of our wishes come
true. None of our wishes come true.
You can certainly say I'm not enjoying what Jericho's doing lately.
It's perfectly fine. Like, I'm never going to argue with somebody who doesn't like Chris Jericho. Like, in our Discord, there's multiple people who are like, who are just like, I just don't like him. And I'm like, that's fine. I'm never going to argue with you. But when people are like,
I never argue with you for not liking Bryan Danielson, even though you're so incredibly incorrect in your opinion.
I'm fire.
I was going to try to say a similar thing. And I was like, the thing is that I would argue with you. In fact, I see more arguments about Osprey in our future. So I talk a good
game. You're like, I will not promise not to.
No, but like, you know, like, okay. So Chris Jericho, the thing about him is that usually he's doing something. And even if you don't like it, you can like see what he's doing,
you
admire it.
What he's doing.
I think what's going on right now is like all of the seams are showing. Like whatever he's doing is so clumsy, and it's like, and it's like watching someone like walk across like a balance beam really badly, and you're like, oh my god, you're gonna fall. This is stressing me out. I can't really watch this.
It's weird to watch him so unconfident and tentative and low energy. Like, usually he comes in, like, at least, you know, really ready to go. And,
His vibe to me is just, like, he's burnt out right now.
Yeah.
It's been a bad, like, there's been a lot of redirects. There was the Houseman stuff that never manifested into, like, any actual accusations or anything. It was just, a Houseman hit job, as far as we know. Which, like, did fuck up the crowds, and then it was kind of a landslide thing where he wasn't doing anything at the time that made it possible or easy to get the crowds back. So then it's like just been, you know, a kind of pile on,
and everything
going downhill of stuff.
Yeah. And everything he starts to do, it's like then Kenny's got diverticulitis, Sammy suspended. Like,
But his energy to me is just like, it's really, I know from just working on normal projects at my job or normal projects that, you know, like creative projects I'm doing in my life, like it is hard to have a run where you're like, I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm
bad at this thing that I thought that I was good at. I'm not sure what to do next. I'm not confident in my abilities. Like sometimes you got to put it/yourself in the drawer for a while. And you got to refill your cup. Yeah. I am running a TED talk here, but you got to refill your cup. And
no,
for whatever
reason,
he has not done that. He hasn't gone off TV. I think I don't fully understand it, but I do think my impression is that Jericho is like, he still has cachet, is that recognizable WWE name. He plays a significant role probably in the way that they think about like how to pull viewers and ratings. So I don't know if he doesn't want to go or if Tony doesn't want him to go right now. I don't know. But I think he probably does need a break. But it's like, I don't know. Sometimes I don't mean to sound really sensitive, but it's like, it does feel really shitty how quickly sometimes someone will like not be doing good in wrestling and everybody is just like cooked, washed, throw them in the trash. It's like, can you just let him go to like take the sea air or something? Can you just calm down?
It's like,
let him go to Bath. Let him spend a winter there. Let him go to the hot springs and the spa and let's just see how he's doing at the end of that.
It does feel like a human being isn't allowed to have like a bad month or a couple of weeks around here. Like, boy,
if I had to deal with people commenting on my personal creative issues and my issues at work the way that people like talk about like a wrestler having a bad day, I would not survive it.
No.
And again, I am conscious of the fact that it's like, we don't always say nice things about people.
No,
but
for sure.
I hope that we do often mostly say, but I'd love to see them prove me wrong.
Yeah.
I want them to get back on the horse. I want them to do something that thrills me. I hope I don't sound like moralizing.
No.
But.
And I mean, I think we often very much like offer this what would make us happy too. But you know what I get really sensitive about, and I'm like constantly like being like, that is shitty, is people constantly, and I don't think anybody has ever like anybody like Meltzer or you know any of those have ever like confirmed this, people are always like, and then Jericho stole Kenny away from Ibushi and made him be in a tag team and forced Kenny to beat the Bucks in that match. And I'm like, why are we talking about like Chris Jericho has a stranglehold on the booking and Kenny is powerless when the facts
not
of that
Richard
situation,
and they're not the little boys in the tower.
No. But the facts of that situation is both of them, those men, looked bewildered to be there. Like, Chris Jericho did not have a vibe where he's like, haha, I'm Clout Vampire and Kenny. I get his fame. They both were standing there like, we got summoned to the principal's office. What are we doing? Like, and I don't understand why people are like, you know, and then Chris Jericho single-handedly ruined Blood and Guts. And you're like, what? Why?
There is a lot of people making up stories in their heads that confirm what they already believe about people, which I should, all of this is good to like also say to myself.
We're checking in with ourselves as well.
Like, I've definitely been mean and I definitely have been like, this person probably did this and so whatever. But I think it'd probably be good for all of us to just think, I don't necessarily know what's going on backstage, or I've heard maybe only a few viewpoints on perhaps a complicated situation. And
well, you know, one thing I'll say for myself is I love to say something crazy that I think happened and then go, but what do I know? And that, I think that's a great so energy. Important. It's so important to add that little, but what do I know? It's anything could be true. Then you can say all the stuff you wanted to say, but what do I know? Nothing. I know. At the end of the day, I know that. I know nothing. I hope that Chris Jericho, I hope he does go take the waters at Bath. I hope that he reconnects with himself. I hope he decides what he wants, and I hope he gets a little time and space and comes back and gets back up on the horse.
Mm-hmm. I just keep thinking about the way Rich Latta occasionally will just go, don't count out Chris Jericho. And I'm not counting him out, okay, universe? No. I haven't counted him out.
We'll never count him out. Big J?
Never. I love you, Big J.
We think he can do it. Let's move on. Ospreay and Shibata fought on Dynamite. This is part of the Ospreay Danielson dynasty build. And Ospreay won. Afterwards, they're shaking hands. They're raising each other's hands. They're bowing in respect. Very, very nice, cordial vibe. Did you guys like the match? Do you have anything you want to say about the match?
They're both very, very good wrestlers. I 100% do not want to, like, get into like how annoying every single side of the our dream matches stories discourse is, but I was a little bit like, I wish I knew how these men like really felt about each other. But then at the end it turned out that how they felt about it was big time respect, so good for them.
Yeah. And that's fine, that's good.
No, I felt similar too. I think like the most frustrating thing about wrestling discourse is that there's so many bad faith takes that then you can never, no one ever has like a good faith discussion about anything. So it's like, just because I saw the chart of like whatever the time on Raw where they spent more time on in-ring promos than they did on match time. And I was like, okay, I would go insane in that situation. But I do feel like it's like, just because I say I'd like a little, so a reason to be invested in this match doesn't mean that I want, you know, more talking in the show than anything else. And I wish we could have like a discussion about how like this match would have been more enjoyable with a reason to care.
Yeah. There is nothing I hate more than when people start talking about video packages and they're like, oh, you want an intro to this match? You wanted them to do a little promo? You stupid idiot. You wanted a 20-minute highly produced package with background music? Is that what you wanted, you stupid little idiot? Watch a TV show. And you're like, I wanted a 30-second promo where somebody tells me like where their head's at. Like,
I wanted a normal AEW promo that happens routinely on the AEW shows.
And I'm not even saying it's particularly like it would have helped here, because like I don't think that was the point of this match.
No.
But it was just the general discourse of like your only options are straight up like matches that are just like only you the show begins and ends in the ring, or one match for every 2 hours of promos. And those are the only options. There's no in between. Yeah. There's nothing in that land in between. And I'm like, y'all make me crazy.
I had to go find this classic configuration, the Tumblr post that was going around Twitter the other day, that says people be saying things so definitively, like, man, I think it depends. And it's like, that is how I feel so often when we get into this, where it's just like, I think sometimes you can tell a really good story in the ring that doesn't need anything outside the ring. And sometimes you can have a really good match that doesn't really have that much of a story. And that's not the end of the world necessarily. And to me, and then sometimes you, I don't remember the things I've said. So, you know, I won't go through everything that could be the case. I think it really does depend.
It just depends. Yeah. Yeah.
In this case, it's like I thought it was a good match that I had no real investment in, and I wasn't that mad about it, and it's fine. And if you wanted me to have a real emotional investment in it, you probably should have done something else, but maybe you didn't, and that's okay, because he's just going to fight Bryan Danielson, the best technical wrestler in the world, and there's not really a super big emotional component for me there, and that's okay, too. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
None of this is really for me, except that I like watching the men do really good wrestling, but it's not going to light me on fire.
No, it's like this match absolutely is not the one that I would have built that particular discourse around.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's been matches where that's much more true, where I'm like, you could have given me a hook on this. This, I think, I'm like, I don't think that they could have given me a hook, and I don't think it really needed it. This is, the match was
they have a hook
backstage,
a great
match. Huh?
But he was busy with Jericho.
But, shing.
Yeah. Okay, keep talking, Lee. I'm sorry.
No, that was literally just it.
Yeah. Well, and I, like, totally agree with that. I don't think this needed to be built up to any more than it had been. I will say that this match, like, totally fine. Not mad about it. Perfectly serviceable match. It didn't light me up the way that like Ospreay Takeshita did or anything, though, so like it was fine. I think it just wasn't probably my preferred style brand.
I just kept having a moment where I was like, both of these men are so cute. They're just
they are very attractive guys.
Yeah, they look good. Yeah. So congratulations on your bodies, boys, and let's move on to some more cute boys. Swerve and Takeshita had their number one contenders match. That was the main event of Dynamite. They went ham on each other's beautiful bodies, had a long series of false finishes before Swerve won. How long was our overrun last night? Do you guys know?
Like 6 minutes, maybe, I think.
Yeah.
Tony's allowed to go as long as he wants whenever he wants now. I mean, that is very clear.
When this was started, I was like, oh, surely he won't do an overrun this week. And then I remembered that an overrun can be a mere 6 minutes, and I was like, oh, we're in danger. And then it happened. Yeah.
And yeah, I felt it. I sensed it. And what did Leah calmly said? Now we enter our third hour of time. backstage, immediately after the match, Renee interviewed Samoa Joe, who just, it's not worth reading this. He just said nothing, pretty much, and just was like, yeah, we'll fight, and we'll see if he's can fight. Okay. So Swerve and Joe are going to fight for the belt at Dynasty on April 21st. Any overall thoughts on the match itself?
On the Swerve
This one
and
did
Takeshita?
Light me up.
Yeah, I loved it.
This one lit me up more, for sure. I thought it was really good. It was really fun.
Anne and I were both saying that we don't know how to describe, like, actual good wrestling when we see it. So it's like, this was really good wrestling, and I was really riveted. And what can I say about it? That it was good.
Don't have the vocabulary. Jeff said, wow, to me at one point last night, he was like, that Falcon arrow was crazy. And I was like, Jeff, you know, I don't know what that means. And he said, Excalibur just screamed it. And I was like, it's no. Not. And then he revealed that he can't tell the Young Bucks apart. So we all have our specializations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He and I got into a big fight about that this morning.
Yeah.
As you should.
Yeah.
We'll see if you ever come back from that. Mm-hmm.
We'll see. And he's not allowed on this pod ever again.
And he hasn't made that notes app apology to you yet, so.
No, he apologized via Discord message, but like in the public channel, but I do need a notes apology.
You need a private full apology.
Yeah,
full apology. Yeah.
I think everyone can understand.
Girls, the apology needs to be as loud as
so
the disrespect.
And the disrespect was in just this case, a text message to Anne.
Yeah, he didn't even say it to you. I ratted you out. Him out to you.
Tell Jeff needs to send Anne an apology that Anne can report back to you.
So true. So true.
Yeah, but I thought it was a really good match. It was not exactly what I expected. And I thought that, and I was like, I don't know what I expected. But it was kind of, it was slow start in a sexy way. They got into some of that like grappling stuff to start with, that handshake that then neither of them would let up, and they just got into that, oh, okay, let's do it. I really liked it.
I liked that too. And for a minute I was like, that would that be a fun stip? You know what I mean? Like the whole match, you have to hold like hands.
It's a handshake match,
it's a classic handshake match.
Could you do that where it's a tag team match and the tag team partners have to hold hands the whole time?
Wow.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I think that if Justin and Greg ever won the belts, they should make that like a condition of their run.
Yes. Oh, when they get to do their House of Black rules.
Rules. Yeah. They should have made that their stipulation for their House of Black match that they totally wasted.
Oh,
their
my
stupid
God.
Stipulation.
Can you imagine how grumpy Malachi.
Like, Malachi and Buddy hold hands like best friends the whole time.
That would have been so fun. No one did anything.
Nobody
fun
did anything
really.
Fun.
I think maybe one person did that.
Really,
I can't remember. Do you have any bigger picture thoughts on? We don't really have to get into it if we don't want to. On like the Samoa Joe Swerve feud as we approach Dynasty, what you want to see from it?
Do you think Samoa Joe is going to wrestle between now and then?
I don't feel confident about it.
I think that Swerve is going to get the belt at Dynasty, but I'm worried. Like, not worried. I mean, what the hell do I know? But I'm like, I hope he figures out, like, this character stuff before he gets the belt, because I'm rooting for him so much.
I really think I became quite convinced today that Samoa Joe needs to be giving more to this feud. He needs to be giving some kind of emotional direction to this feud. He can't just keep cutting these promos that are like, I'm wrestling good and he'll be seeing that I wrestle. And it sounds good when he says it. I understand that he's like good on the mic, but there's nothing there. Like, I think he should be being badder and badder so that Swerve can be gooder and gooder against it.
Yeah,
like, do I sound simplistic? Do I sound like a toddler? Like, I don't know. It
it's
just seems,
pro wrestling.
Just
so
seems
you
right
should.
To me.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, too, is, like, he could be actually, like, trying to get under Swerve's skin. Like, he was so, like, his energy when Swerve and Hangman were going at each other was so, like, get a load of these guys. Like, what if he was out there being, like, Swerve, now that Hangman's gone, like, do you even know who you are? You know, like, there's all kinds of stuff he could say where it's, like, you were so obsessed with Hangman. What was that about? Like, to at least try to, like, get in Swerve's head or do something. But it's just, like, you can't win the belt. And it's like, this is nothing. This is...
Yeah.
It's can't really frustrating.
Can't he bully some people backstage? Or can't he just do something clearly bad that then Swerve can be like, I wouldn't be bad like that if I had the belt. I mean, like, really feeling good and having fun. I don't know. I just think it's like, a man cannot create emotional conflict all on his own. He needs another man who's in it with him. Yeah. Hangman and Swerve were really in it together. They fucking did it. They did it, girls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Samoa Joe, stop slacking off. It's a group project.
Yeah.
Okay?
You guys,
I need
sit
you to
down.
Bring something to the table.
Mm-hmm. Stop phoning it in. Stop being like, I asked ChatGPT to give me generic wrestling promo, and that's what came out.
Might be. Okay. Let's... Oh, can we briefly check in on little Kyle O'Reilly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to. I put this on here. I'm like, this is nothing, but I need to talk about it. So Kyle had another little backstage promo on Dynamite with Renee, maybe, I think, where he yet again was doing his big, huge seal eyes at the screen and being like, it's just been such a hard year for me, and I really hope I can still hang. I don't know if there's a place for me on this roster. And... I know we have said on the podcast multiple times now, we've said he was trapped in the Arctic. He ate his shipmates. He is traumatized. That is all true. But what's also true is that Kyle O'Reilly is a rat. He was born a rat and he will die a rat. He's a rat top to tip. at his core. When he looks at me with those limpid eyes and says, I don't know if there's a space for me on this roster, I say, okay, liar. Okay, little man who's about to go, you're about to do something so bad. I will never buy him as a face. And in fact, I got deep into my thinking this through, and I thought, okay, he ate his shipmates in the Arctic. I do not think that they drew legal sea straws or whatever it is sea that we straws. Found out you have to do. I don't think that anybody drew straws. I think that he went loco. I think he killed all his shipmates. He had winter madness. I think he hung them in the cargo hold by their feet and they froze. Mm-hmm. And then he ate them little by little over the course of 6 months. And so is he traumatized? Yes. But was he a very badly behaved boy? Yes. And will he do it again? Maybe.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be in the Arctic with him.
Are you worried that he's going to do it at AEW?
Maybe. If he can find a cargo hold.
Oh my God. What if he ate the whole Undisputed Kingdom? Maybe we could solve all our problems. Wardlow's got a lot of meat on him, Kyle.
The first time that Kyle bites someone in a match, we're going to scream. The first time he does little bitey and a kissy like Mox.
Yeah, we're going to lose danger. Our minds.
Yeah. It's true. I think our friend Emmy said the other day that a heel who's a liar really can't turn babyface very effectively because you're always like, oh, yeah, right. And I think it's true. Kyle.
Little rat boy.
Little rat boy.
Cannibal rat.
Little cannibal rat. Oh, my God. I can't wait to see what he gets up to, but I'll never trust him, and I love him more than life itself. Thanks for coming back from the Arctic, Kyle. Okay, let's talk about the women. So Mercedes was on commentary for the Dynamite Women's Four-Way this week between Willow, Anna Jay, Stat, and Sky Blue, and this was for a title shot, or as Manola called it, a date against Julia Hart at Dynasty. I don't know why Manolo said that, but
I'm instantly onboarding it. Like, Swerve and Joe have a date at Dynamite. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously. Like, that's a fun way to say that.
Should people, like, maybe be, when they're proposing a match, should they sometimes be like, do you want to go on a date?
Do you want to go on a date with me? Mm. Yeah.
Do you want to go on a date with me on Dynamite next week?
Brian Danielson, do you want to go on a date with me?
No, Brian Danielson, Will Ospreay have a date at Dynasty.
They have a really fun date set up for
Dynasty.
They're
both so excited for it.
Really
excited.
They can't wait for their date. Okay, so plot relevant stuff from this match. Mercedes and Willow had a stare down. Willow ended up pinning Anna Jay for the win. Julia Hart came out and hit her with the championship belt. And she and then Julia Hart and Mercedes had a stare down. Later, we got a backstage segment with Stokely, Willow, and Chris. So Willow was talking up her win and promising that she was going to get the TBS belt off of Julia Hart at Dynasty. Stokely warned Mercedes not to interfere. And Chris said, Willow, when you become the new face of TBS, I'm going to be right there with you. And then she hugged her close while shooting the camera. One of the most sinister looks I have ever seen. I didn't know that Chris could do an evil look like that. But immediately I was like, Willow, you're in danger, girl.
I know. I was like, is this Chris's moment? Is this her true form? Like, look at this face acting.
Now, I will say my second thought after I was like, that's a really evil look, was I actually promised that I would never tell myself that any member of Best Friends is doing a heel turn ever again. Because remember the last time I was like, Greg is sending really clear signals that he wants to heel turn.
Do you remember how many conversations you had us have where you were like, I'm just really worried about it. And Anne and I had moved really into this space where we were like, I don't think the breadcrumbs will ever be real.
you guys were right, but I'm still like, it was all there. Greg, you were doing it. What, were you just having gas? Were you just having a bad week digestively, so you were making those faces and acting like you were gonna murder him?
He probably did have gas. You've seen how many hard-boiled eggs he brings onto planes.
Just one of many reasons that I don't think it's really a good idea to be flying these days. Yeah, but I don't know. It seemed straightforwardly like an evil heel turn look.
I do think this one is probably happening. I mean, as much because the male members of Best Friends are not in the picture as for any other reason.
Yeah, if they were still at her side, I'd be like, I don't know, you can't trust anything, but... I think one of them has to turn. Like, I wasn't sure whether it was going to be one, the other, or both, but I think, like, something has to happen there.
If Stat turns on Willow, do you think that one of them gets Stokely in the divorce? If so, which one, or neither?
I think the one who turns heel gets Stokely, right? Because he's kind of a heel manager.
He is, but what if he's decided that he likes... I think it would be kind of poetic if he only cared about Chris at the beginning, but then had to accept Willow into his heart, and then if Chris turned heel, it would be really poetic for Stokely to stay with Willow and learn to be a good boy.
It would be.
I do think it would be funny if he was fighting his nature staying with Willow, but I do think even in that scenario, he'd probably eventually have to just go with Chris instead.
Yeah,
This is one of those moments where I'm like, they're not, I don't think it, like, in wrestling, they're just never going to do that, but that TV show would slap, you know what I mean? Like, I want to watch, like, the TV show where, like, Chris, something happens to Chris, she runs away, or she joins a cult or something, I don't know, who the, whatever, and amazing. Stokely and Willow have to team up to save her, and they are annoying each other so much, like, I don't know, like, I'm like, yeah, I would watch, like, 16 hours of that straight, no problem.
Mm.
If they would make it for us, which I doubt they would.
And if it wasn't too intellectual, like White Collar.
And what about what I said I described would be intellectual?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Okay. Any thoughts on Mercedes this week? The relationships potentially developing with her? She was on commentary. Anything you want to touch on?
I thought the match was really good, actually. I had a good time watching. I thought Chris was great and Willow.
Mm-hmm.
And I am liking the dynamics. Like, it seems like they're doing some, you know, not complex exactly, but it seems like they're setting up, you know.
Multifaceted.
Mercedes. Yeah,
multifaceted.
Exactly. A few different.
Yeah. I think Mercedes is pretty, like, soft-spoken. So, like, I didn't hear most of what she said on commentary. I just wasn't listening to it. But I think a lot of people are talking about whether or not she sounded rehearsed or not, which is fine. Like, I don't really have an opinion on it. But it's just very interesting to me how many people were like, yeah, promos are really not her best, like, that's not her wheelhouse. And I'm like, oh, interesting, because she's going to have to give a lot of promos. And the only thing that we're actually able to judge her on right now is promos. So that doesn't seem like a great vibe.
We need to see some wrestling. I don't think anyone on this podcast is going to get super head up about it. Like, we'll see it when we see it, and we're at our leisure pretty much until then. But it seems clear that we're not going to have a real opinion on her and on, like, I don't know, like, what, I don't know. It seems like we need to see her wrestle. That's it.
It'll be interesting to see how her promos develop, because I think people are also complaining that she seems kind of, like, inauthentic, or, like, she's doing kind of a fake character. But it's like, you know, it's like she was in WWE for 10 years, and that's, like, her whole wrestling career, basically. Yeah. And it's like things are so different over there. It'll be interesting to see, like, how she finds her feet and what kind of persona she develops.
Yeah. I think especially when someone ends up in, like, a new, different situation – like, you can be really surprised by what people adapt to, what they find in themselves. Like, you know, I don't think that just because she's been on WWE for a long time, you don't necessarily know what we're going to see from her in AEW, especially as she gets comfortable. But I am excited to someday see her wrestle. I will say that. And finally, Darby did a little sketch with Tony Hawk on Dynamite. And he said, this was the first time I'd heard this, that he was going to climb Everest for Tony Hawk's skate park charity. But now he can't climb Everest because his little foot is in a little scooter. So Tony Hawk came on TV instead, and they talked about the skate park charity. And that was the segment. And there's no reason for us to talk about it except that I was cracking up. I thought it was so funny. I said, what is this?
The idea of climbing Everest for charity when it costs like at least $60,000 to climb Mount Everest is like the funniest thing I've ever heard. It's like, guys, we just have to raise more than 100K to break even. Like, but we'll get there. These skate parks, they're going to get some money. Don't worry about it.
It is like, I think he wanted to climb Everest, and I do buy that he was like, who can I partner with? And maybe I'll do it in honor of the skate park charity or whatever. That's fine. I'm not dumbing on Darby. It was hysterical. It was quite funny. And that's all I have to say about it. Oh, he makes me laugh and he keeps me young. That's what I'll say.
Just the dumbest little adrenaline jump game.
I honestly, they were showing him, or this was either, it was either in this segment or it was a video I saw on Twitter where he's like at the top of a, what is it called? A skate.
Like a
boot, you know, a little UE.
It's a pipe.
A pipe.
Half pipe.
Okay, yeah, half pipe. Anyway, he's
you gave
there.
Me this look like you didn't even know me anymore for coming up with that.
Well, I think I half thought pipe. That it was. Well. I thought the half pipe was the move. I didn't realize that was the. But not, I don't know anything.
I played a little Tony Hawk, whatever in the 90s,
in your
his
day?
Video game. Yeah,
okay.
When my brothers
okay,
would give up the controller, not very
we got
much.
A,
I wasn't
we got
really
a Tony Hawk
it.
Fan on our hands. We got a Hawkhead. Hawkhead in the chat.
I wouldn't go that far, but. Yeah.
Anyway, I saw him up there with Tony, and Darby just has his one leg on his little scooter. And I said, you just let him go up there with a literal wheel on, and you trust him not to be like, watch me do an ollie with this or whatever, do a little head.
Very nice. That was a good one.
Thank you. Thanks. I said, that's not a safe situation
it's
for
not,
him.
No. They should be supervising him a little bit better, for sure.
I don't think they should have given him something that's like so much like a skateboard as a medical assistant tool. That's all. Okay.
Agreed.
Does anybody have anything else to say about wrestling or Tony Hawk or...
No, it's
our
crazy to only
time
have.
That
it's crazy to only have one episode of wrestling to be reviewing this week. It feels so luxurious.
I know, it was kind of nice, and I was like, "How many?" Like, we had like a year where that was just the case. Can you imagine?
Well, I know.
Just
honestly, if I didn't have to open so many different recaps. I wouldn't mind, you know, if when we do have three episodes on our plate, but it's so many tabs that start to get open and it's so hard to find the what you're looking for.
I know.
So it's a logistical issue more than anything.
I know. And I'm really going through it because me and Doc Chris Muller in Bleacher Report, we're not getting along. His heart's
I can't
not
believe
in
that
it.
Your husband, Eric Beeston, left you. It's really, there's a epidemic of divorces lately.
I know.
Have you guys noticed that?
He went full WWE. Because he loves punk.
Horrifying.
Oh, I know. God. I know. So he
recaps. I don't think he should have that much autonomy about what he recaps.
I know.
It just doesn't
you
seem
get
right.
back in here and try to think of positive things to say about the Bucks. I'm like, he quit.
Well,
he quit so he didn't have to compliment the Bucks on their tag run.
Just like
loved,
FDR.
If he really loved you, he would have done the work.
I know.
That's right.
I know. But
marriage
instead,
is work, Eric
instead he went to WWE, and now I'm left with Chris Muller, who like glances over everything. He'll just be like, yeah, and then they fought. Okay. And I'm like, no, you have to say something infuriating so I can pick a fight in another document that you'll never know about.
Now, Leah, I have a proposal for you.
What's that?
Do you want to wife swap? And I'll take Doc Chris Muller.
He wouldn't stop.
And you take Manolo.
He absolutely wouldn't. He wouldn't be enough for your
he wouldn't
schedule.
Help me?
No, he doesn't give you. He doesn't give you enough information. You would not. You would.
Wow.
You would be suffering.
I've switched over almost completely to the AEW recaps.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well,
they do have a lot of detail in those AEW recaps.
They do, except they don't include any of the promos. That's the only thing. Or any if it happened backstage, they don't know about it, which is crazy. I wish I knew who. I know we've said it's Tony, but we know it's not. Who is writing them, and what do they think the purpose of the recap is?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. Who's reading them?
Who's reading them?
I need market research. I need to know what's how the sausage is getting made, and then I need to change how the sausage gets made and what the sausage tastes like on the other end.
I'd love to know what all recaps, what they think their audience is, because they spend a lot of time recapping moves, and I'm just like imagining the person being like, and then was the Falcon Arrow, like, was that towards the beginning of the match or the end? Like, I gotta look it up. Is that happening?
I always think if you care about the moves that much, shouldn't you watch the match? I mean, like, I don't know. It's like, who is this serving?
Yeah. Well, this is the funny thing is that, like, don't you feel like if we had any kind of access to insiders, this is the exact kind of questions we'd be asking?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, most people, if they had inside information, they'd be looking for dirt and gossip and shit. And we're like, yo, who does those recaps? And what is, what is their deal with the exclamation point?
And could you walk us through your gear? How do you wear it? What are the layers?
You know what? And I think that we would benefit personally
from those conversations. We're getting a press pass and we're going to the scrum and we're getting in there and we're saying, Tony Khan, I'd love to dig into the AEW.com recaps if we could for a moment. Got some hard hitting questions for you.
And while we're there, will you sign our yarn dolls that we definitely made? Oh, God.
Leah. Wow, she's spicy today, girl. I am so sleepy and stupid in my brain that I think we gotta end it here, if that's okay.
Let's do it.
Imagine
it on this day.
Imagine if I was like, ooh, no.
Oh, I literally, if my girl said we aren't ending this podcast, we have more to
what
say.
What if they just held you hostage? And we're like,
I draw myself up in my power and I say, girls, what do we need to talk about? I can do it for you.
Allie, could you recap? I just had to look through our grab bag to see if I could even find anything to make this joke about. And I couldn't even find it.
Literally nothing else on the show.
Yeah, I guess we can end the podcast. Sure.
Yeah, we'll end the podcast. I've been Allie this whole time.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
It's Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter and Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod. Via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, along with a lot of other great wrestling podcasts. And you can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord, where we've been talking about our special matches we watched for the past couple of days and having a blast. That's all. What do I say at the end?
Please come back next week.
There's nothing before that. I go from we're having a ball. Please come back next week. That's all I do. That's what I do. I don't say anything like stay frosty and please. 1 of those was a real ending, or do I have to say that again?